Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive. It feels like a Monday because we've had the last couple of days off, thanks to the Auburn women's basketball team, which when they won on Wednesday, which preempted our show, that brought them back on yesterday, but unfortunately they couldn't duplicate that. So we are here with you on this Friday. Bill and Coach Don Dunn in the studio and Drew at the controls. Yes, good to be back. Good to be back here in the studio and looking forward to talking to people. I don't know how many texts I got from people going, what happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the show? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
No, it's just, I mean, we've got, you know, the women's basketball, Auburn women's basketball has been on ESPN 106.7 all year. And then we have situations where and men's basketball are, there's any possibility of, you know, a conflict or one running into the other, then we would run baseball. But we are back with you here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody is doing well. It has been, it has felt like spring break, and you know what? It is spring break now, officially. I guess there's still a few folks. Boy, I feel sorry for anybody that's still got class after 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. But I would say for almost every Auburn student, Auburn University student, it is spring break. So enjoy it. A reminder for everyone, whether you're on spring break or not, Sunday is set your clocks. What do? We spring forward and you fall back. So set them an hour ahead before you go to bed on Saturday night.
Yep. It's always an exciting time to find that one clock you always forget. Most of them, I guess, now are automatic.
Oh, not mine.
No, we got a few. The daggone. I've since last when we fell back, our two clocks on our stove and oven have not been the same, and the microwave, they're all messed up. So, I may leave those alone.
Well, those are a little more trouble.
Yeah,
the stove and the microwave.
I'm not
the ones,
smart enough.
Ones
to
more trouble.
That.
Those are the ones that go out anytime there's a power glitch.
Yes, yes.
Or something like that.
Flashing.
So, yeah, you're right. You come in and it's midnight. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, so keep that in mind. Starting Sunday, there'll be an extra. You know, you'll have an extra hour of sunshine.
Yeah.
You lose that hour of sleep.
Yeah.
But you'll have an extra hour of sunshine, you know, when you get off work, whenever, or, you know, in the afternoon. So that'll be nice. So those are just a couple of things to keep in mind. Mentioned Auburn baseball. There's actually quite a few things going on in town this week at Auburn baseball, Auburn softball, gymnastics, equestrian. Mm-hmm. So there are quite a few things going on in town over the weekend. It'll be interesting to see the kind of crowds.
Yeah.
Because students can, of course, take off and either head home to the beach, to the lake, whatever they're going to do over spring break. But I'm sure the coaches would love for students to at least hang around, for the competition here this weekend before they head out. Weather looks like it could be a little iffy for a couple of things here over the weekend. It's going to be interesting to follow. I believe there's at least last time I looked, Don, there was a chance of rain around 6 o'clock tonight. And that is scheduled first pitch for baseball.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It says possibly rain hitting. But, you know, who knows? And I've heard others that it's going to be fine till late tomorrow afternoon. So
Yeah,
who knows?
Sunday is the day where it's in the biggest question. I wonder if they, get the game in tonight. They may opt for a doubleheader tomorrow
probably,
as Auburn is hosting Winthrop, a team that's coming in, and they're 10-2.
Yeah.
Butch Thompson talked with the media a little yesterday and said, look, this is a quality, really quality team coming in. A lot of their numbers resemble Auburn's.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching staff has been excellent as far as not allowing base runners. Drew, we got somebody at the door.
All right, get it.
Yeah, we got it. So I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I would think both staffs are going to throw a lot of strikes. Their pitching staff has only walked. I think their starters have walked eight batters this year. Auburn starters have walked, and I think now they've had a couple of bullpen games.
Yeah,
but their weekend starters have just not issued free passes at all. Was that for you? Oh, okay.
Ah, dang it.
Like I said, gee, I thought somebody – Drew's getting a package delivered to him. No, Riley getting a package. So, but anyway, both these pitching staffs, I would think you're going to see a lot of hitters ready to swing early because they're going to be throwing strikes. That's one thing Butch Thompson has really preached is, filling the strike zone. And, man, they have done that. Starting with tonight's starter, Jake Marciano, mm-hmm. He has been fabulous thus far.
They've done well. Just got to keep it up, like you said. But a lot of people don't know about this team. But like you said, they've got a heck of a record. And these are the guys you got to watch out for because they have nothing to lose either. They're going to come in here. This is their World Series to get to come and play a great, venue like at Auburn. Great stadium, great crowd. Wow.
Yeah, Auburn ranked as high as number 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a top 10 team that I believe it's Eagles. I think Winthrop is the Eagles. Coming in this weekend. So, hopefully weather cooperates and we get everything in tonight, and then we'll see how they decide to play the final two games either tomorrow and Sunday or maybe a doubleheader tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. Auburn basketball, it's like being in the postseason right now.
Yeah.
Because it is very likely that if it's win or you're out – of the NCAA tournament. If they lose, Auburn's only chance may be to at least make it to Sunday of the SEC tournament. I don't know that would for sure do it. They may have to win the SEC tournament if they lose tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, big game, a lot of pressure. But, hey, I just feel like we're going to play well. I really do. Now, they don't have the big guy.
They don't have Bediako, right. who really was a factor.
Yeah,
it's funny. Alabama has actually played better without him, but I don't know that they beat Auburn if they didn't have Charles Bediako.
Right, last time for sure. Yeah, he had some big plays, big rebounds and stuff in that first game. And, they didn't play well the other night, Alabama. What, they got beat by 10?
They got beat by Georgia. Stopped their 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, so you never know.
Well, I mean, it's they're in. I mean,
And
they're pretty much locked in. I believe they're going to be the 2 seed in the SEC tournament regardless. Mm-hmm. Florida wrapping up the SEC regular season. But, I mean, there's so much on the line. They can dash or just about put out any hopes that Auburn has of making the NCAA tournament with a win.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's not plenty of motivation for them.
I'm sure they would love to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And then brag about it.
Yep. So we will talk a good bit about that matchup. As a matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and get to our first break because we're going to get to the phones and we'll call in Justin Ferguson. Since we didn't have a show yesterday, didn't have a chance to get with Ferg from the Auburn Observer yesterday, get his thoughts on the matchup and what Auburn needs to do, their chances, as far as postseason and more, when we come back here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill.
At Game Day Men's Health, went out there, heard Chad, didn't get a chance to talk to him today. He was busy on the phone. Saw Aaron, met Tanya today, who's a new nurse there. Hey, they're really good. Today was a day that they wanted to redo lab work. They did blood work when I first went out there. They do it every so often. Today did blood work again, so they'll be able to see how everything is looking, and they really evaluate everything. Very professional, great folks. They take care of. Take care of folks that, either have low energy, want to lose some weight, low T, ED. I mean, they've got medications and treatments for all kinds of things. There's no question. I feel better. I've lost a little weight. I'm a little over 15 pounds down.
Wow.
And really haven't been working that hard at it. I mean, trying to get back and actually, get into a little better shape. But yeah, they're great folks, very professional, very conscientious. You can check them online at gamedaymenshealth.com, or you can give them a call. They're open now, going to be open till 5 o'clock today if you want to call and check out, have any questions for them. 334-209-3706. Our number is 334-321-1390. We're going to hold on your calls right now because we have an outgoing call and going to bring in, usually with us on Thursdays, but since women's basketball was on the air yesterday, we didn't have a show, so it's great to be able to spend a few minutes with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here on the Friday Drive. Ferg, how you doing today?
I'm all right. How are y'all?
Doing pretty well. We were talking about it before the break. This is about as do or die a situation for Auburn basketball as you're going to get. It almost feels like you're in the postseason as Auburn gets ready to head to Coleman Coliseum tomorrow night.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is a win and you're in kind of scenario. Lose, you're only on the outside looking in, and traditionally, historically, conference tournaments don't do a ton for teams when it comes to their NCAA tournament.
Unless you win it.
Yeah, unless you win the whole thing in 5 days, which was seems pretty tough to do. So yeah, I mean it's as big of a rivalry game as you can get in terms of stakes for Auburn. We talked about the last time they went to Coleman, it was number one versus number two. This was as big of a game, just in a different type of way, in terms of what it can mean for the program. So for Auburn, it's a matchup where you felt like earlier this week you beat LSU, you stopped the bleeding, got yourself up off the mat, see if you can carry any of that momentum into Tuscaloosa on Saturday to beat an Alabama team that's coming off of a loss that ended a very long streak for them, and see if you can find a way to pull off an upset that people will remember around here for a very long time for what it would represent.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I mean, Auburn coming off that you wish you could forget month of February where they went 1-7, and you had a glimpse of hope. You snap the losing streak and think you're going to play better, and then you go out and you lose to Ole Miss. So this time you're really hoping that Auburn can regain or retain that positive feel that we had the other day. Steven telling us today, and I know you know this, I mean, this was as statistically as good an offensive performance from Auburn as we've had, as we've seen from them all year.
Yeah, it was a very, very efficient game. I mean, you have Todd Bedford having a great night. You have Kevin Overton shooting the lights out. You have, you guys taking care of the ball, doing a really good job there. And I thought Auburn did a great job of in that game of just, taking what the defense gave them. Auburn forced some turnovers with their own defense, and they were able to get out and run. And it was just make the easy pass. Don't try to do too much. Just go down the floor, trust your stuff, and hit your shots and play with confidence. I thought, Auburn really did that to a great degree on the offensive end against LSU. And I think, this Auburn offense has been good more than it has not been good this season. Mm-hmm. But during that stretch where they were losing games, especially the ones the teams they should have beaten for sure, you had a tendency where Auburn would get in the half court and it would kind of feel like they were kind of getting stuck in the mud. Things were kind of plugging away there for them, on that end of the floor. This game against LSU, it felt more free flowing. It felt more comfortable. You felt like you had a good pace to it, and you had a bunch of different guys contributed in their own way, and I thought, that's the type of offense you got to play. And for Auburn, you go into this Alabama game thinking, hey, guess what? You scored 92 the first time you played Alabama. You still lost, but you scored 92, so you should have some confidence between that LSU matchup and, obviously what they were able to do the first time they played Alabama.
Yeah, and look, Charles Bediako, who it's funny. I mean, Alabama has done better without Charles Bediako, but he was a real factor in that game at Auburn.
He was, and without Bediako, Alabama's just a little lighter in mm-hmm. terms of their front court. They have Noah Williamson, but they haven't really played him a ton this season. So, outside of Aiden Sherrill, Bediako gave them somebody else so they could kind of rely on there. One of the interesting things about this team this season is that Alabama, I believe the number is they're 14-1 or something like that. When they win the rebounding battle, they're 8-7 when they lose it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for Bediako was a pretty good presence in terms of, you know, them being able to you know, rebound, defend the rim a little bit more. I think Auburn's got to be able to take advantage of that. These last two games for Alabama, you know, they lose to Georgia by 10 in Athens earlier this week. Georgia out-rebounded them by 10 in that game. Tennessee out-rebounded them by 17 in that game last Saturday. Of course, Bama only leads in the final minute of that game. And, you know, Tennessee missed a ton of shots in that one, and that was really the reason why Alabama was able to get out there with that win. So, you know, you can out-rebound this Alabama team if you really commit to it and really go after it, you know, especially now that they're a little lighter up front. So that's definitely a big first step for what Auburn's got to do in this matchup tomorrow on both ends of the floor. Got to be able to take advantage of second and third opportunities against this Alabama team that doesn't rebound the ball very well on a consistent basis, and also limit those opportunities to just one for Alabama on the other end. This offense from Alabama obviously does not need any help. You do not need to give them second and third chance opportunities. In fact, when Alabama won earlier this season, Auburn played excellent defense for about the first 18 minutes of that mm-hmm. game. If you remember, what changed is Auburn started getting off some second chance threes there late in that first half, and it kind of flipped the game. So, you know, straight up, like, Auburn has got to be able to finish possessions on defense and also crash the glass and see if they can take advantage of the fact that Alabama's just a little lighter up front than they were in the first matchup.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, when Auburn has been at its best, they have really been able to do that. They have owned the defensive glass and have gotten offensive rebounds. And you're right. I mean, in that first matchup, Alabama had, I'm thinking it was around 26. I know it was fewer than 30 points in those first 18 minutes.
Yep. They did. They had 26 points in the first 18 minutes of the game. They had 11 made shots and they had 9 turnovers in that game. 2 of 8 from deep. Auburn was running them off the line. Mm-hmm. And look, it's not the same type of team, obviously, but I look back at the way Auburn played defense against LSU, and maybe not the same schematically that they're going to do, but the general principle of run teams off the three-point line and force turnovers, be physical, be active in passing lanes, get disruptive out there. That was what Auburn did early on against Alabama and got a 10-point lead doing that in that first game. They did that against LSU earlier this week. They're going to have to do it differently, but I thought, you know, what made them successful on defense against LSU, just kind of the attributes. It's what you got to bring to the table against Alabama on Saturday night, because that's how you slow this team down. You have to limit their possessions. You have to try to give them empty ones, and the easiest way to give them empty ones is force turnovers, because they don't do a ton of that. And then obviously, you know, get into a situation where they're not shooting a three-pointer every time they go down the floor. They would love to do that.
Oh yeah,
Auburn's got to be able to prevent that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're right. I mean, just looking at Ted's notes, I mean, they average 36 threes attempted every game. Of course, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world when you're making 13 of them and you're scoring 90-plus points, leading the nation in scoring. But, I mean, they do that. So, I mean, the pressure will be on the Auburn perimeter to try to, you know, try to limit the open looks, because that's something that has just been there's been way too much of all year long. And then when they do shoot it, make sure that if they don't hit it, that they're not getting that second shot.
100%. Yeah, that's got to be the big thing for Auburn, I think, in this game, is just, you know, Alabama doesn't need any help on offense, because they play so fast and they play so well and they shoot, you know, the lights out when they get going. And you know, for Auburn, it's like, don't turn the ball over. Give your chance to have your defense to get set up on the other end. But also, yeah, if they miss a shot, go get the board. Go run that thing down, because, you know, it's the old trope. The best time to shoot a three-pointer is off an offensive rebound. Well, what do you do with a team that shoots more threes than anybody in the country? That's just handing them, you know, extra ammunition. So, yeah, it's definitely a key in this game, and I thought Auburn – like you said, Bill, it's like when they've been at their best, they have limited that. And when they played well against Alabama on defense in that first matchup, that's what they did. I think the big thing here is just like, you know what, not only is this a regular season finale, this is Alabama under Nate Oates. Like, you know what they're going to do. You right. know what you have to do. There's no hiding. There's no secrets out here. You just got to go out there and get it done.
Yeah, that's and we were talking a while ago, too. I mean, look, Alabama is pretty well locked in. They're going to be the 2 or 3 seed in the SEC tournament. Yep. There's not as much on the line for them, but they get an opportunity to try to, you know, put the dagger through Auburn's heart this year. So that's got to be their motivation tomorrow night.
Yeah, sweep, you know, senior night win, beat Auburn again, keep them out of the tournament. Yeah, there's a lot at stake for them, folks. You know, for Auburn, it's just you got to come in knowing that they're going to play really, really hard. And, yeah, you know, the thing with Nate Oates this week, he felt like his team did not play hard enough or was locked in enough against Georgia earlier this week, and he was disappointed with that. I'm sure that's not going to be an issue for him tomorrow night.
No, absolutely not. I can't imagine that being – but I can't imagine Auburn not being, you know, pretty jacked up and ready to play. You sure hope that, you know, just that – there isn't too much pressure that they feel going out there feeling like they have to win. But I mean, I got the, you know, I got the feeling they're still going to be pretty loose going into the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to be. I think they need to be able to do that. And you know, if you're Auburn, you have to look at it and say, this is going to be tough. You know, you're going to be a sizable underdog. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really tough matchup to go out there and do it. But I think if you're Auburn, you say, look, we've played well, you know, we played well for a stretch. We know what good basketball looks like against this Alabama team, and also we know how to win on the road, right? You know, it's like you haven't done it frequently this season, but man, the one you did is as good of a win as anybody in college basketball's got. So if you can go down to Florida and beat Florida on the road, man, what's stopping you from going and beating Alabama on the road? I don't think there's anything that says you can prevent it, but it's got to come down to how you play, control what you can control. And for Auburn, it's just you got to play better defense. Bring defense. You know, if Auburn plays solid defense, they've won more. You know, I think the only game they've lost this season where they didn't play, where they played solid defense against a high major, was Houston. And I think the only game they've won this season against a high major where they haven't played good offense or they haven't played good defense was Texas. So you know what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You can score. You know you can score against these guys, but you lost from scoring 92 the first time against them. You got to bring the defense with you to Tuscaloosa, and you got to play that hard, not just for the first 18 minutes, but for as much of the 40 minutes as you can in this game.
Oh, there's no question about it. So, Ferg, do you feel like if Auburn doesn't win tomorrow night, they'd have to win the tournament?
It would have to come close. I think it would have to be a situation where, you know, the bubble is just that weak,
mm-hmm.
and Auburn gets enough wins. I think they would probably need to win 3.
Yeah, I was thinking they need to be on the weekend. And they probably need to be playing Sunday.
Yeah, I think you would need to be. You need to be close. I mean, unless the committee is just dead set on saying, you know what, Auburn's resume is better than a lot of these guys on the bubble. I think it's going to take. If you lose on Saturday against Alabama, I think it's going to take at least 2 more quad one wins to help you out, and you would need to pick those up. You know.
Yeah, that won't happen.
Presumably on Thursday,
night.
On Thursday yeah. and Friday right. in Nashville.
Yep, Ferg, really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Let everybody know what you've got out there, what's coming up, and how they can get the Observer.
Yeah, AuburnObserver.com. Check it out there. Mailbag today came out. A lot of stuff on basketball, the defense. Kind of looking ahead to this Alabama game. You can check out there. Dan and I did a podcast that came out yesterday, talking the LSU win, looking ahead to Alabama's game tomorrow. We'll have a full breakdown preview of Auburn versus Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I'll be heading up there tomorrow. I'll be there this weekend covering the game. We'll have, you know, all the post game from it on Sunday morning, and then we'll be right back at it. You know, I'm going to be in Nashville on Tuesday for, you know, Auburn's got open practice on Tuesday in Nashville for SEC tournament, so we'll be right back at it, and we'll be there as long as they're there in Nashville. And we'll be there whatever it looks like in the postseason. And oh, by the way, you know, we've got spring football here right around the corner. So AuburnObserver.com, we'll cover all of that. Check it out there.
Get started a week from Tuesday. That's right. It's almost here.
Yep.
Great stuff, as always, Justin. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Y'all too. Thank you.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joining us here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Little note before we get to our bottom of the hour break. As we speculated, Auburn and Winthrop are going to play a doubleheader tomorrow because of the strong possibility of some bad weather on Sunday. So
yeah, that's smart.
6 o'clock tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow, and again, if you have tickets to either of Saturday or Sunday's games, you'll be able to get in the Sunday's original. So game three tickets will be honored as far as seating location in game one of the doubleheader tomorrow, and then the game two of the doubleheader will be the original Saturday as far as seating is concerned. But you can get into the park with tickets to either game for tomorrow, for the weekend on tomorrow. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We have audio from Stephen Pearl we can let you hear. We have audio from Butch Thompson. We'd love to hear some audio from you, though. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Friday Drive.
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and as we said, Auburn baseball is going to play a single game tonight, 6 o'clock against Winthrop, and a doubleheader tomorrow. And yesterday, Butch Thompson met with the media and thought we'd let you hear some of his comments as the Tigers get ready for this three-game series, the final non-conference series for the Tigers here in the regular season. Well, we're waiting for everything to get queued up, but Butch spent some time with the media yesterday, and I've got it on my phone. If we
maybe today.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah, they were just trying to get everything set. I was there. They were trying to get everything set, make sure that it was being recorded and everything. So, I would have thought they might have edited the beginning of it, but that's okay. We'll get Butch's comments and then some questions from I think the four of us. Brian, Jason, Brian, Adam, and me pretty much asked the questions yesterday.
They're 10-2. They've absolutely pitched it. They've stole bases. They've been getting on base by high rate, walks, and hit by pitches. I know they're between 40 and 50 hit by pitches already, so they present a ton of challenges. Their starting rotation combined with ours, Auburn's starting pitchers and Winthrop's starting pitchers have walked 13 batters in almost 100 innings. So it's been filling up the strike zone. I think their Saturday starters 24 over 2 strikeout to walk ratio. So again, much like last weekend, we're seeing a team that's absolutely played well, played great, beat a Big Ten opponent here in their midweek. So they come in here playing very good baseball. I'm excited to get to see and give a firm handshake and a hug to Mikey Bello, who was on our 2022 World Series team. Think the world of Mikey, and glad he's starting his career in coaching. I know he's got much to offer as a young coach, so can't wait to see him. I think that'll be absolutely tremendous to have him back at Plainsman Park. You know, I've done the six run when we score six or more, which we got to Tuesday. Over the last 5 years or five or less, how it's been harder for our programs, try to get our offense engineered to get to six runs. One that George gave me today I thought was pretty neat. In that same time frame over the last 5 years, we're 1-12-16 when we out-hit our opponent. So another thing for our fans is we half our team new and we're playing so many freshmen and sophomores as we keep educating our guys to not only look at the scoreboard for situational awareness, but as you're looking at the keys and ways to win baseball games, that's another good one that he absolutely presented us. Even if we're down early in the ball game or it's not going our way, you know, there's still some categories to compete in that can be favorable at a high mark.
Well, apparently there's some kind of technical thing. We're able to hear in the studio But for some reason, we're not. It's maybe just coming out of one channel, because in my headphones, I could hear it out of one side. We've got other ways. I've got a way for us to be able to play some of Butch. I had that as well, but we'll see if we can get that. But he was talking right there about their pitching and how, you know, they beat a Big Ten school here in the midweek,
yep.
And they're coming in with a pitching staff that, much like Auburn, throws a lot of strikes. Had some cool stats there as he was talking about the fact that when Auburn outhits their opponents over the last 5 years, they're 112-16.
Pretty good record.
Yeah, so that is. And yeah. this team can hit. I'm telling you, this team can really swing it. Even though they're getting better, like you said they would. They've got two or three guys that really haven't gotten off to good starts. But one of those guys, Auburn High product Cade Ballou, saved the ball game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's still struggling. I think he's 4-for-28 to start the year. And he was 0-for-3 the other night in the seventh, I believe. And Butch was saying, you know, he was asked if they want to pinch it for him, and he said, no, we need his defense out there in right field.
Right.
And we've talked about him. I mean, he's a guy that he's a natural center fielder,
mm-hmm.
Who becomes a great right fielder because he's got size
and range
and speed and range, mm-hmm. and a great arm. And the other night, Samford loaded the bases in a 5-2 game at the time, and a screamer to right center that it didn't look like there was much chance of anybody being able to make a play. And Cade came out of nowhere, went horizontal, made the catch, and then doubled the runner off to end the inning. Auburn adds an insurance run, and they win it 6-2. But, I mean, so it looks like, ho-hum game. But if you don't have that play there in the outfield, they're probably leading or at least tied the ball game there, and that changes the complexion of the complete game. So, I mean, that was huge to see him make that play, even though he's really been struggling at the plate.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about coaching. You want to get a bat, but, boy, how important is he to make a play like that? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll come around.
Well, yeah, and
he's too good of a player.
Lucas Steele, has been struggling, and he's one of the, he's probably the gray beard of the team, and was so important last year down the stretch. And then Todd Clay, who transferred in and was the MVP of fall camp, has really scuffled at the plate as well. But yes, I mean, it's a great situation to have guys like that right now. And Butch was saying, look. The players are going to determine the lineup, but one of the things he said was that it's very important to really watch and how important practice is, because they can see who's seeing the ball well, who's, at times just numbers don't show you. I mean, you can have somebody that early in the season can go through an 0-for slump for 3 or 4 games, but they could be hitting the ball hard at somebody.
Right.
Or they could, you could see them start coming out of it, but the hits may not have fallen yet. But it's a great situation to have players like Auburn's been putting the youngsters out there, the McCrain brothers and Ethan Bingaman, who have gone out there as freshmen and are just lighting it up. And that's great, but it may not, it may not continue for all of them. Or if somebody else gets hurt the way Chris Rembert was for a little while, then you have players that you feel like you know. And these guys are the guys that I was talking about with Cade and Lucas and Todd are guys that have been around college baseball for a few years. So they're gonna come around. I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. But, yes, this team is going to hit it. What's been really exciting to this point is how well the pitching has been, how good the starting pitching has been. They had that hiccup last Friday. It wasn't the most dominant performance for Jake Marciano, but he left with a lead, and then Auburn's two closers struggled. So, I mean, that kind of thing happens. It's baseball. You play a lot of games, 56 of them, if weather doesn't wash some of them out here in college baseball. But if you get that kind of starting pitching, and they've got the arms to be able to get them to the end of the ball game, to the back end of the bullpen, then you're gonna win more than your share. And that's one of the things Butch was in a hurry to get through, even though he went 20 minutes or so the other day, yesterday. He was really anxious to get out and watch practice. He said they were going to have 9 different pitchers that they really haven't thrown this year, but they really like their stuff. They were going to go live. They were going to go 9 pitchers, and they were going to be watching the hitters against these guys, but watching these pitchers to find out who else can help us as we get ready for conference play, because conference play starts next weekend. Auburn goes on the road to Columbia, Missouri next weekend. So that yesterday was going to be really big for quite a few of these guys to try to prove that they could help this team as they get into conference play next week. And we may well see, you know, some of those guys when you go doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah.
You don't have that luxury of somebody being able to only throw a couple of pitches and having come back the next day.
Right.
It's less likely that if somebody goes an inning and throws, you know, 20 pitches in game one, you may not be available for game two.
Right. Bill, how many can they travel? Do you know? Do they take everybody?
No, it's your roster is 35, and I believe you travel around 25.
Okay, I didn't know if they leave some of them.
No, your roster can be 35, but I think you travel somewhere in the.
Right.
I didn't know what it
was for baseball.
It's changed over the years, but I'm pretty sure it's in the neighborhood of 25 that you can take on the road.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, so you're looking at 13, 14 hitters.
Yeah.
And that would be about that many, maybe 27 like Major League Baseball's done. So it may be, you know, if it's 13 or 14 hitters, it'll be 13 or 14 pitchers as well that you could take.
Yeah.
All right, 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us. Don't forget Jake Crane, who's usually with us on Tuesday afternoons. We were off early Tuesday because of baseball and basketball. So Jake will be joining us in hour number two. So until then, though, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive, 1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Got Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. Baseball series starting tonight over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park, got the whole name in there, that the schedule has been changed a little bit. Got the 6 o'clock start tonight, and then tomorrow Auburn will play a doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock, and then game two will be 45 minutes after the conclusion of game one. They're not going to clear the ballpark in between games, and a ticket to either Saturday or Sunday's game will get you in to the doubleheader tomorrow. So if you want to go, I mean, if you only had tickets to one, you can go to two. Now, remember, if you have a reserved seat, the seat for Sunday's game would be the seat that has priority for the first game of the doubleheader tomorrow, and the seat which says Saturday would have priority. That's where. You'd be able to sit in that seat in game two. Now, since we have the same seats, that's okay. We know where we would be for any of the games. Now, that's the thing. The only thing that's a problem at times is, you know, a lot of these 6 o'clock starts, by the time I'm out of here, it's the second inning or so. And I ran into somebody the other day. They went, "Hey, you were right. You said it just right. You said you wouldn't be here till the second inning." And I went, "Well, you know, I can't like teleport over to the stadium." The one time I didn't, one time I tried to get there quickly. Well, that was basketball, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Things didn't work out so
right.
well.
Right.
Tonight I've got to go by the house and pick up my wife before we head to the stadium. So it may be the third inning, and that's one of those things. I'm always uncomfortable if I get to a game late and somebody's in my seats. if there are seats anywhere around, I'll just sit in those.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get somebody up and go, hey, yeah, that's my seat, move. Now, right. But if the place is full,
yeah,
then I will go, I'm sorry, those are my seats.
That's right.
And they'll go, what, you old man, why didn't you get here on time? And it's like, well, I had something else I had to be doing for a little while. But yeah, anyway, so that's the schedule for Auburn baseball. Meanwhile, Auburn softball also going to play a doubleheader tomorrow as they have Kentucky. So the first pitch, it'll be the same thing with the first pitch started slated for 1 o'clock, and then they will take 35 minutes in between before they conclude with game two of that doubleheader. So, again, same situation, though. Tickets to either Saturday or Sunday's games are going to get you in. And they're doing the same thing where the Saturday tickets, the reserve seats for Saturday are good for game two. The reserve seats for Sunday are good for game one. So Auburn baseball and softball playing a doubleheader tomorrow, because it looks like we're in for a good bit of rain on Sunday.
Yeah, sure does. A lot of rain.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, tomorrow, the weather looks pretty good for tomorrow until late tomorrow afternoon. Equestrian closing out the regular season. Auburn, number one team in the country, hosting number 5, Texas A&M. And that will start at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and admission is free for that. So, I mean, there are a lot of things. Boy, tomorrow is a busy, busy day. It gives everybody an extra day. You just sort of another day where you may have been thinking, well, we'll go to one of Sundays. Now spring break's actually, you know, go ahead and starting on Sunday, so it'll be like 8 days of spring break.
There you go.
Yep. So hope everybody, you know, that is headed somewhere for spring break has a good trip. I've got some friends that are going on a cruise.
Wow.
As a matter of fact.
Good.
Here over the over spring break.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the high school's out too, which is always that's great. I've been in some coached at some universities where it was not the same.
It's tough. Well, it depends on where you are and how the you know, sometimes how large a city or something you're in. But it's great when you can have that coordination and synchronization because it's tough when parents are working and they're off and the kids aren't, or vice versa.
Exactly.
So hopefully everybody enjoys spring break. We'll be here next week. The plan is so it shouldn't be anything interrupting us next week. No, we need to step aside. We got hour number 2 coming up. We'll take your phone calls for the first half hour till we check in with Jake Crane. So come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive. Function.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to the second hour of the Friday edition of The Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here. Dan is down in Pensacola, where the Troy women, they won't play until Sunday.
That is a crazy
time. Well, I think it's very smart, though, in a one-bid league, in a league that is traditionally just going to get one team in, to reward the teams at the top.
I agree.
I mean, because if you have an upset, then the team that has won the regular season and has been the best team in your league all year long isn't going to get in.
Right.
So what they do is the top two teams draw byes all the way to the semifinals. So they know. I mean, and Troy finished the year as the number 2 team.
Right.
So that they don't play until Sunday. The teams that finished 3 and 4 draw byes all the way to the quarterfinals and so forth down. So,
well, I might have spoke too soon.
I mean, it's great to see a team make a run, and you'll see. I mean, in leagues that don't do that, we've seen it from the Southern, you know, from the Southern Conference at times, a team come in with a losing record, and the way they do that is they make a run, they win their conference tournament and get in the NCAA tournament. But what usually happens is a regular season champ is out of luck.
Yeah, and that's a shame.
Yeah, and see, that's the situation that has been talked about.
With Miami of Ohio.
Miami yeah. of Ohio. They are 30-0. And
play tonight.
That's right. To wrap up their regular season, they would be 31-0. But if they lose in the conference tournament, they may not make the field. As a matter of fact, a lot of people are saying they will not make the NCAA tournament after going 31-0 and 18-0 in your conference.
Wow.
I don't care what conference it is.
I don't care what sport it is.
You deserve to be in the tournament
that's
if you have a year like that.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're I know they're very nervous tonight. They play tonight.
Yeah. Well, tonight wouldn't be the end of the world.
No.
I mean, they would, but then they would definitely have to win
their
conference tournament.
Yeah.
So if they win tonight, they've got a really good argument for getting it. I think they should be in. If they win, I think any team that goes 31-0 ought to be in. Let's see. Auburn basketball, it is about as close to, you know, win or go home for Auburn tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa. The Tigers did get back on the winning track Tuesday night against LSU in that late night ball game. They played about as well as they have played in a long time offensively. So the Tigers have clinched a non-losing season. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. And boy, I sure didn't think I'd be saying that at the end of January when they were 14-7.
Yeah.
They're now 16-14. But the worst they can do now is if they lose in Tuscaloosa and lose in the first round of the SEC tournament, they have a 500 season, which is not what anybody wanted or expected.
Right.
But at least they clinched that. That's the first thing. Now, if they can win tomorrow with their schedule, the strength of schedule, Auburn has the toughest strength of schedule in the country. They have six quad one wins. If they can get a win tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa, I think they're in the NCAA tournament. At 17-14 going into the SEC tournament, just because of the teams that they have played and the schedule that Auburn has played.
Yeah.
And they would be 8-10 in the conference, too, in the SEC, if they get a win tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow, I think it's 16-15, and having that would mean Auburn would have lost 8 of their last 10, and would be their 11th quad one loss. I think it would be very difficult for them to get in unless they make a deep run and maybe even have to win the SEC tournament. I think as we were talking with Justin Ferguson a while ago, he feels like they would have to win two quad one games, and you're not going to get a quad one matchup on Wednesday in the first round of the SEC tournament, so they need to win at least Thursday and Friday. I think they might need to win Saturday as well. So that's how important tomorrow night's basketball game at Coleman Coliseum is. Auburn has shown they can play with Alabama. They can beat Alabama. Alabama got hot. Auburn let Alabama get some second chances. Mm-hmm. Charles Bediako played a big role in that as well. And he's not with Alabama again, so Auburn's going to have to play better defense than they have played most of the second half of the conference schedule. They're going to have to be good offensively like they were the other night against LSU.
Right.
I think they're going to have to, as Justin said, I think they're going to have to go inside and be strong on both ends of the court around the basket, which is something that was a problem for Auburn here in the month of February for sure. So that's tomorrow night, 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame over on Wings 94.3. Tonight on Wings 94.3, it's baseball. 5:45 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch, Auburn-Winthrop. That a three-game series, which is now going to be a single game tonight and a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1. Auburn softball with its conference opener against Kentucky also will have a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1. They play, it'll be the same schedule as Auburn baseball, one game tonight and a doubleheader tomorrow. We'll let you hear some comments from Stephen Pearl as we move on here in hour number two. But your calls come first. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And Bill is up first. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, this is off the subject a little bit, but I haven't heard much about it. I thought as you guys are in the media, you might have. What happened with Baker Mazar out at Southern Tower? He goes to the locker room and then comes out and sits in the front row of the stands. What was that about?
Chad is a man. He's a different. He's a different character. He's a guy that it's amazing. He made it through two seasons at Auburn. I mean, it's Auburn's the only place he's been at for more than a year. He's just got a different sort of mindset and character, and you never know what you're going to get. And he said he felt like he couldn't go, so he just went and sat in the stands. And that'll usually result in a suspension. Mm-hmm. And indeed it did, and ended his time at USC.
Now, Coach Dunn, what would you have done in one of your defensive linemen? Well, so I can't go, and he wouldn't stand.
I can't say on the air, but
I don't think it would have been good for that player.
I did have a young man take himself out of a game and went to the locker room, and that was at Western Kentucky, and I was ready to be fit to be tied. Very good player, just got frustrated. And never had that happen before in my life, but I was very upset. But luckily, the head coach, probably why he was the head coach and I wasn't, we had some disciplinary problems, let him come back, apologize to the team. Then he had to run extra after practice. But just the kid, the kids are really, really wired different from when I played and when I first started coaching. You would have never heard of a guy taking himself out of a game or leaving the field or leaving the court. And luckily, my guy didn't go sit in the stands. He just went in the locker room.
That's bad enough.
I seem like a nice kid. You see him around campus, but some of the stuff, I hope he got his degree, so I don't think you're going to play in the NBA or that kind of thing.
None. He's 26. Maybe he's about to turn 27.
Well, you think he'd know better.
I guess it's time to go to work.
He'll find
employment playing basketball somewhere. Yeah, overseas.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thank good you, hearing bro. From you, Bill. Yeah, I mean, Chad's just different dude, man. I'll tell you what. There's no question. A difference maker though for Auburn, and that was a big loss because of what he could do on both ends of the court. Mm-hmm. when he was fully engaged.
Oh yeah.
He was a guy that was like electric in more ways than one, but yeah. I mean, he really could come in and just put up a bunch of points quickly, create a lot of turnovers defensively. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those where there was a risk along with the rewards.
Oh yeah. It didn't, yeah, for sure.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's let you hear Stephen Pearl's comments today about Auburn's preparation for their matchup in Coleman Coliseum against Alabama tomorrow night.
Coach, KO's kind of – you being the primary ball handler, we kind of see that again Saturday.
What was that?
The first matchup, you kind of had KO as the primary ball handler playing a one against Alabama. Will we kind of see that again Saturday?
I mean, he played backup minutes at the one with Tahad, but Tahad was still out there as the primary point guard, so the rotation will kind of stay the same that it's been over the last couple games.
Speaking of that rotation, what have you liked about having Elijah in the starting group? What kind of led to that decision, and what have you liked about that group, particularly in that LSU game?
Yeah, just the efficiency of the lineup that we had starting for, the previous seven or eight games was just not very good, so always looking for different ways and different lineups, so I kind of looked through which lineups were the best together, and the one that we have starting right now analytically has been really solid on both ends of the floor, and I thought it showed in the LSU game.
Steven, I think the first matchup was their second and eight in a row for Alabama. Just what have you seen from Alabama since playing them the last time? Just what kind of sticks out on film?
I mean, obviously, they shoot the ball at an incredibly high level. They're multiple defensively, and they have a lot of guys that can just make plays. And every time teams break down on the defensive end, they make you pay for it. And they just played pretty fearless out there on the offensive end with a lot of confidence, and it shows. And they've been really good since Bediako's been out of the lineup, and he's just so you know they've been really good.
Steven, in the first game, you talked about the first 18 minutes you guys defended really, really well. What stood out about that stretch? I know they hit those threes to kind of change it there, but, like, how much could that – can y'all draw back on from the first matchup?
Yeah, that's the plan, to look at the things we did well, try and do more of those, and look at the things that they made us pay for and try to not do those. Yeah, they were great. LSU game, they bounced back and, played like they had something to play for. And, that's what we got to continue to do. Had a good practice yesterday. Need another good one today. And obviously need a great effort on Saturday, to beat a really good team.
Defensively, how much did you feel like the effort, like the intensity? I know you said LSU, you might not be able to do the same stuff all the time, but the physicality and that intensity, how much did you see that step up against LSU from maybe compared to the last few games?
Yeah, it was great. I thought our activity was, much better. We had 11 turnovers forced in the first half, and I thought that just had everything to do with, guys executing some of the intricacies of the scout. And, I thought they made a lot of plays. Tahad had four steals in the first half. Thought we did a good job with our framing. So did a lot of things, executed our switches. And, I thought we looked like we did, earlier in January when we were defending at a much higher level. So got to continue to build off of that. Yeah, I think it was everybody. It wasn't just Tahad. I thought the job of running our and if we didn't have anything off that action, we got into a breakdown, and that was what we did not do against Oklahoma. And, ultimately it showed. And I thought we just did a better job of, executing the details of what we try and do offensively, and that's why we had the number one offensive efficiency game of the year on Tuesday. So we gotta bottle some of that up and keep that moving forward because it obviously worked. A lot to do with just executing, the things that we're trying to do. But if you execute what you do without great effort and energy, none of it's going to work anyway. So you got to be able to do both. You got to have a mixture of both, and got to execute the things that we're trying to do. But then you got to make multiple efforts, and I thought we made multiple efforts on Tuesday, and it led to 11 first half turnovers, and we did a good job of scoring. We think we scored in this game. They're going to get shots up before they turn it over usually, but. We got to do some things defensively to try and disrupt them. And if we can create turnovers, we can get out in transition and run a little bit.
It's been a good last few games for Elijah, first half against LSU. How much more confidence have you seen him play with on that end of the floor heading in? This is his towards the end of his first season at D1. He looks like he's shooting the ball with a lot more confidence at least.
Yeah, it kind of stems back to the Arkansas game. I said stop being in between and just commit to everything you do. And, there was a couple shots in the last two games where, but he committed to them and he made them. And that's how he's been really good in conference play. He's just shown a lot of really good things. And anytime he's full speed and, isn't halfway on certain things, he can be really effective. When he plays physically, offensively, he's such a great athlete that, he can just rise over people and finish through contact, shooting the ball from the free throw line well. So, it's been great to see him in his progression, as the year's gone on and his confidence continue to grow. And I'm glad he's playing well right now because, we're going to continue to need him to play well over this next stretch. So he's been great. Unbelievable teammate, unbelievable player, very coachable, wants to win. He's about all the right things. So, you know, Elijah's been great.
Anything else for Coach? All right.
Appreciate it.
Stephen Pearl earlier today, and yeah, Elijah Freeman I think could be a huge factor. Again, we've seen his athleticism, and he appears to be getting more confident. As a matter of fact, we had a chance to talk to him as well, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to play that, but yeah, Elijah just, you know, he's making that move from Lincoln Memorial, you know, to the SEC, but it's any of the struggles have not been because of a lack of athleticism, sometimes just a lack of confidence. That he can go out and do that against these guys, but you still see him make some plays, and you go, yeah, that this guy can really be something special. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Still time for you to join us before the bottom of the hour when we check in with Jake Crane here on the Friday Drive.
This is Coach Larry Vickers.
888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive, Bill and Coach Don Dunn. And while we were talking with Justin Ferguson a little while ago, Don, yeah, we're less than 2 weeks away, just a week from Tuesday from the start of spring football practice.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe we're sitting here and there's one regular season game of basketball left.
Right.
Baseball's already
about
the third
to get
week.
Into conference. That's right. And softball's in conference.
Yeah, and now we're starting spring ball. And before you know it, it's going to be summer. And before you really know it, it's going to be time for football again. But it just flies by. I think they're smart to wait till after spring break. Mm-hmm. I hated that. We've talked about that before.
Right.
I never liked the splitting it up.
I first heard about it, I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. Maybe if you have a really experienced team. But I mean, the thing that we heard was, well, we're going to see how much they can retain.
Nah.
Well, they're going to lose a lot of it. Yeah. And it's like you're going to lose that week of conditioning. I mean, it just makes more sense to get it all, to be able to continuity and, you know, just being able to repetition.
Yeah.
You don't need big breaks when you're taking reps.
As a player and a coach, I always liked a set routine. I could not stand playing or coaching for an unorganized, and I'm not saying if you split practice like that before and after spring break that you're unorganized, but I just like that, you know, continuity of knowing what we're doing, when we're doing it. Here's the days we're practicing. Here's the days we're off. Here's the days we got film, weights, all that. And I think the kids like that. You know, you're going to have maybe you don't have that problem anymore, bad weather, because you got indoor facilities.
Yeah, so that's right.
That was something we always worried about. We always plan for a couple of bad days with weather. But, yeah, I always like start it, keep it going, and finish it. I hated that breaking it up.
Yeah, it's going to be – and this is going to be a really interesting spring with so many new players.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got new coaching staff and 60-something new players.
It's crazy.
I would guess everywhere, because of the increase in scholarships, that there'll probably be more you know, scholarship players practicing in just about every school, because hardly anybody – now waits until summer to be able to get in school. You're behind now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't get in school until summertime.
Yeah. Both as a you know, it's so hard to come in now, say even August. Remember the old days?
Up
in August. But yeah, those days are long gone. Yeah.
So that's coming up. We mentioned the Auburn Alabama matchup tomorrow night. Let's run down the SEC on its final day of the regular season. Here are the matchups tomorrow. Arkansas is at Missouri. That could be an interesting one for the Tigers there. They need to get a win there to solidify themselves and as far as position. South Carolina is at Ole Miss in a game that means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That is both those games. Well, actually, no. The Arkansas-Missouri game is an 11 o'clock game on ESPN. The South Carolina-Ole Miss game is at noon on the SEC Network.
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock, ESPN has the Vandy-Tennessee matchup in Knoxville.
Ooh.
That ought to be a heck of a ball game tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. At 2:30, the SEC Network has Georgia at Mississippi State. The Bulldogs looking to continue to improve their seeding as they appear to be in. Florida, the SEC regular season champ, is at Kentucky tomorrow. That is a 3 o'clock game on ESPN. And the Cats, they've been hot and cold. And lately it hasn't been as good.
No.
If Florida wins that game, Kentucky finishes 10-8 in the league.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know what to expect. They make a big deal like everybody does for the seniors on senior day.
How many seniors do they have? They got a couple.
They got a couple.
There's some teams that don't have many at all.
Right. Always a senior, I think. Mm-hmm. But you never know nowadays who'll be back. You might as well have it for everybody.
So that's 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then the evening session, I guess, at 5 o'clock, SEC Network's got Texas A&M at LSU. And then you get to the two late games tomorrow night. Auburn, Alabama at 7:30 on ESPN, and Oklahoma, Texas. You talk about a couple rivalries there on the SEC Network.
Yeah, that should be good. Plenty of good basketball, and then you got North Carolina and Duke if you care.
Yep. Well, that's the way it should be in regular seasons. Yeah. You ought to have as many rivalries as possible.
I always like that in any sport coaching. I didn't want to play my rival the third week of the season.
No, well, in basketball, you generally get to play them twice.
Right, right. Yeah.
Hey, Drew, if we've got the Elijah Freeman, as we're coming up here near the bottom of the hour, we were talking about him a while ago, the sophomore transfer from Lincoln Memorial.
He's just a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Long, athletic, can jump crazy.
Keep him here. Yep. Keep him happy.
But, yeah, we had a chance to talk with him as well today as the Tigers get ready for Alabama tomorrow night.
It means a lot, more so of just getting back, they up one on us, and us being able to go to their place and get this dub is going to mean a lot, so that's been our mindset all week.
How much was beating LSU kind of a ball had a really tough stretch over the last few weeks? How much have you kind of felt like a difference?
It hasn't been really too crazy because, we've been seeking a win for a little. A good quality win. So being able to just do good on, LSU on offense and defense, and just being able to for the running back is good.
Elijah, whether it's Tahad or I know Murph played there too when he was at Mississippi State, but just what have maybe the playing in Tuscaloosa, and maybe in particular from Tahad, like in this game, in this matchup in Tuscaloosa?
Nothing crazy has been said, just about the rivalry in the past, how loud it's going to get. But, we were old games, that's what comes with it. So I feel like we're kind of used to it at this point, this late in the season. We just got to be able to not let their momentum build up and not let it just control the game.
The first time y'all played Alabama, y'all got off to a really good start on defense. I know they came back there, but how much can y'all draw off of that? Like the first 18 minutes or so, y'all played really, really good defense against them. Like how much are y'all going to be able to lean on that and try to do that again?
Yeah, just being able to know the personnel and scout, watching a lot of film from the first game, cleaning up on the mistakes that we had in the past, should be able to help us on the defensive end just by how much they shoot. So. With all the information SP and the coaches are giving us to go into this game, we should be all right.
What has it been like for you being back in the starting group? I mean, SP was just in here talking about your progression, seeming like you're playing a little bit more confident over the last few games.
Yeah, it's been good. Me being back, I feel like I just added a little bit more spark with the guys and just helping them defensively. And then just trying to do everything in my power to help us win. So that's really what I've been thinking about.
SP was in here talking about how, he encouraged you, whatever you're going to do, whether it's a shot, going for a rebound, going for deep, like do it all out and make plays that way. How much have you kind of been able to lean on that? Because these last few games have been pretty strong for you on both ends.
Yeah, with him in my ear just telling me things like that, I feel like that's really just being able to do anything or everything in the game as hard as possible, and living with the result is always okay. So with that mindset going on for the rest of the year, I think I'm going to be all right.
That's Elijah Freeman, and he could be a big factor for tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's very intelligent. Came from a small program. That just amazes me how they find guys like that. But we were talking a little bit before, we got to keep him in this program because his upside is just – it's unlimited what he can do. And he's proven it already in the SEC.
That's going to be a big, big part of this offseason is who is retaining so you don't have to completely start over the way Auburn felt like they did this year.
Yeah, that's a tough situation.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company as we head into the final half hour of the Friday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And we normally have him on Tuesdays, but we had to get off the air early because of Auburn baseball on Tuesday with that baseball-basketball doubleheader that there was, if you will. So he was kind enough to let us reschedule him for this afternoon. So we're pleased to be joined now by our buddy from Crane and Cohen. That's Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. As usual, appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh man, it's our pleasure to be able to talk to you. I mean, this is a fun time of year. We're wrapping up the regular season in college basketball. We're just about to conference play in college baseball, and we're right on the verge of spring football practice as well. So it's a great time of year.
Yeah, you get a little bit of everything, man. It's going to be interesting to kind of see what unfolds over the next couple weeks. Obviously, with Auburn basketball trying to make it in the NCAA tournament. I mean, at this point, really all you can say is thank God for Butch Thompson.
Yeah, you're not kidding. This baseball team's fun to watch. Let me tell you, they're a legit top 10 team, but there are quite a few of those in this conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the only conferences where you can finish, what, seventh and host a regional. It's going to be really, really deep. You know, when I look at what this team's made of, the depth of pitching is about as deep as I can remember when you look at the front end, through the middle, all the way through the back end. And the bats, you knew they were going to eventually start to heat up a little bit, and that'll keep going, especially the more the weather warms, the ball travels a little bit further. But I feel like this team can win in a lot of ways, man. There's some exciting young guys, too, on this team. So I'm interested to see them grow. But, man, what an opportunity for Auburn basketball tomorrow in T-Town, huh?
Oh, you're right about that. It feels like the postseason. I mean, it's about as close as you can get to. Yeah, it's about as close as you can get to. If you don't win, you're not going to be in. If you win, you should be in.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose this one, it's going to be tough to win it. I mean, make no mistake.
Oh yeah.
But you're gonna have to make a run in the NCAA or the SEC tournament to have a chance if you don't win that one. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, as bad as it's been over the last month for Auburn basketball, you control your own destiny, and at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for. So it's in your hands. You can go out and handle it, but it's going to be tough in T-Town, but I don't know a much better way than a Clemson NCAA tournament berth than by beating those guys.
No, but then on the other hand, for Alabama, it's wouldn't feel much better than to be able to put the dagger in the heart of Auburn basketball as far as their postseason's concerned.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, Alabama's obviously fighting for seeding right now going into the tournament. So, look, I mean, at the end of the day, you're two halves away from doing what you always wanted to do because, you know, I mean, heck, now that we've been to the tournament multiple times, Auburn fans know anything can happen once you make it into that field. So I'm excited to see it, man. I think they're going to show up and do all they can and let the chips fall where they may. It seems like, though, if you score over 88 points, you're going to beat them. But Auburn's defense hadn't exactly been locked down here over the last month and a half. So it's a great opportunity, and I know Steven and then we're going to be fired up to go up there and see if they can pull one off.
Yeah, Alabama leads the nation in offense, averaging 92 a game. Auburn scored 92 in the first time at Neville and wasn't able to get the win, although they really played, I thought, for most of the first half. That was about as good as Auburn has played defensively. Alabama was, struggling to make shots. They got a couple of long rebounds and hit threes, and it sort of seemed to deflate Auburn. And that I don't know how much that played into it, but it seemed like that happened for the next for the rest of the month of February. It was the case, but it's going to be a huge challenge for the guys on the perimeter. Alabama's going to fire up threes. And they're going to hit some. But what Auburn can't afford to do is give Alabama second opportunities. If they miss a three, Auburn's got to pull the defensive rebound down.
Yeah, somebody's got to get upset in the middle. That's what it's got to be. Whether it's really everybody's got to do it. Keyshawn Hall's got to rebound too, which he's shown the capability. But this is a game. If you're Keyshawn Murphy, you have the ability to take it over down low. Jovic, he's undersized. He's going to play as hard as he can. He's going to get some that he shouldn't get. I tell you what, though, what I keep coming back to is just how big now is that waved-off three-pointer against A&M early in the conference season. I mean, that one, God, just going back to it, it's like, goodness gracious, man. If you were – it doesn't get overturned, and I think it's a different story right now.
No, I think that very well could be the case. You mentioned Keyshawn Murphy. I mean, here's an Alabama kid. A kid grew up in the state of Alabama, wanted to come to Auburn, went to Mississippi State, and has come here. He's been up and down. You know, there's no Charles Bediako this time. Even though Alabama has been better without him, he was very important in that Alabama win in Neville.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think against Bama – you got to take it right to them,
mm-hmm.
like on the offensive side. Like you can't let the way they play dictate the way you play offensively. I think teams fall into that trap and sit here and think, oh, well, we got to shoot 43s to have a chance to win. You got to take it right at their teeth. They really don't want that on defense. If you look at what Georgia did, I know Catchings just couldn't miss for the whole game, but a lot of what Georgia did and the teams that have beat Alabama is they take it right at their neck. They really don't want to smoke down low like that, and they want to lull you into playing their type of game. So if you're Auburn offensively, especially if the refs are calling it tight, a great way to hurt them is to get them in foul trouble. So I'm going to be interested to see if Auburn early is taking that thing to the rack with some noise, because that's why I think that's how you get after them. You got to set the tone physically on them, because teams that have done that have beaten them.
You know, a guy that we at times don't talk as much about, I think, could be very important. We were just talking about him a few minutes ago. But Elijah
Overton? No,
Elijah. Oh. Elijah Freeman has the ability to be able to take it inside and go up and over people and make plays. And he's a good foul shooter as well. He's a kid that I think it's just been confidence. It sure isn't because of a lack of ability. Now, KO needs to be on for sure, because he can beat you both inside and out. But Elijah has been getting more comfortable with his outside shot. But I love his ability with his Euro step. But I mean, just to get inside and get up and over people at 6'7", 6'8", he can still rise up and make plays inside. But I agree with you. Auburn needs to force the issue and see if they can't get Alabama into some foul trouble and do what one of the things that they have done pretty well all year long, and that is go to the free throw line.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Auburn didn't shoot free throws great at the beginning of the year.
No.
I mean, I remember a lot of people complaining about it, and they've really turned the corner there. Here's my thing with Freeman. Because there's been times, Bill, and I know you've seen it, where this man, and it won us the game against Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
where he goes in to get a rebound, and he's a full head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to know what his vertical. I feel like we should send this guy to the Olympics, man. Like, watching him jump, it's just a different level of height that he gets. So rebounding, putbacks, offensively or defensively, I think he's a guy that could mess around and get 8 to 10 rebounds that could decide the game. You talk about long rebounds and trying to eliminate Alabama getting second chances. Elijah Freeman can get up there and grab it from anybody.
And he is one of those guys – And you know, it's not that time yet, but he is one of those guys that I think Auburn really needs to be able to hang on to here in the offseason, which is going to be a critical offseason for Stephen Pearl. Can't afford to have a team or a roster where you're only bringing back one or two guys and trying to bring in and fill the rest of the roster out. They need to have four or five players that are coming back and have played together and understand what Stephen and this staff want. Because, I mean, you look around the country, the best teams are the ones that have, you know, they have some returning experience. It's not just about the talent you bring in from the portal. It's how they fit in. They need to be fitting in, not just being every piece of the next year's roster.
Yeah, and you want to keep the right pieces, right? There's going to be some guys that leave that probably need to leave. But I'll give you a great example of retention. Look at Bama. I mean, you bring back Aiden Holloway, you bring back LeBaron Filon, you bring back Cheryl, you bring back Reitzel, you bring back Millett. I mean, they've brought back. Heck, they brought back Charles Bediako, and he was in the G League. Retention is huge. Experience in the system is obviously big, and understanding how to play. But Auburn needs to retain the right pieces, and obviously go out and get some big pieces. And look, they're going to have to. You're going to have to spend money. Like you're going to have to spend money to get these guys in college basketball, and that's something that they have. You're not going to be able to trick your way anymore into not spending money to get guys. Like, you can't, this ain't layaway, this isn't Kmart. I mean, this is Nordstrom's Rack, let's be honest.
And one of the things that we've talked about here recently is, you know, you also don't have the name Bruce in front of Coach Pearl that might get you a bit of a discount.
Oh, 100%. And it's proven. So look, Stephen, I think Stephen can do it. I don't think people, you know, when you look at this season, he's learning on the fly. If you know the difference between the head coach and the assistant coach, it's like the difference in being the president and the vice president. Yeah, they have the same name in both the job titles, but it's a totally different job. So I think he's, you know, having to learn on the fly, and they're going to have to go out and get. Look, you can be the greatest coach in the world. If you don't have good players, it doesn't matter. I've been a part of staffs where you had the smartest guys you could possibly have drawn stuff up, but you didn't have the dudes and it didn't work. I've also seen guys that weren't exactly savants from a schematic standpoint, but they knew how to recruit and had great players and they looked like geniuses. So, like, at the end of the day, unless Stephen Pearl's going to go out there and shoot a three, you better bring in some dogs, because that's what it comes down to.
There's no question about it. I mean, so, that's you know, it's – it's on the line, no question about that, for the Tigers tomorrow night. Hey, before I let you go, I got to get your thoughts on the what are they calling it, the College Sports Roundtable or something that's going on up in D.C. I see where the president says he's got a simple solution, just put in a salary cap. Well, that sounds very simple. Who's going to enforce it?
Well, look, man, I keep going back and forth on this. There's only one way to do this, I think, to fix everything. You got to make them employees, man. Like, I don't love it. I didn't want this to happen this way.
Nope.
But you're going to have to make them employees. Like, I just think that's what's going to have to happen. You can an employment contract's a lot different than a financial agreement in the court of law as well. So, and I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that both sides of the contract will be even. There will be consequences. You obviously determine how much an employee makes, and that's church. I just think at this point, you're going to probably have to make them employees. Here's what scares me. I don't want the politicians to get involved in this. Like, they screw everything up. They're the worst people in the world at fixing things. Do not let them touch it. Just make them employees. Let's figure it out from there. You can put rules on the transfer portal then and things like that. I feel like that's the best way to go.
What I hope is that maybe the threat of something being done could go ahead and force both sides to say, okay, yeah, let's go into some type of agreement where we will be employees. That's what I hope.
I hope so, man. Hey, it's ridiculous. Like, what's gone on is ridiculous. And I don't blame people for taking advantage of a flawed system.
No, not at all.
Like, you see rich people do it with taxes all the time. Like, then change the rule.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, looks like the NCAA isn't giving up too easily on some of the eligibility issues. Interesting that they've come back and saying, yeah. they're not taking the word of the judge and giving Trinidad Chambliss that extra year.
Yeah, man, well, y'all wasted 658 pieces of paper to try and
really
fix this. Like, yeah, man, they're not going to change that. You think the Mississippi Supreme Court's going to let you take away Ole Miss's quarterback? They may give him two more years.
Well, if that's the case, but then why doesn't the NCAA just take it to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, I don't think they're going to help him there either, to be honest with you. Here's my thing, though. Should the Supreme Court – don't they got more important stuff to be dealing with?
I would think like, that there's more important things in Washington right now, I would think.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, dude, I'm like – they don't need to be worrying about whether Ole Miss's quarterback gets the sixth year. That's what they don't need to be. We need to have like a sports court, like a sports Supreme Court.
I like that.
You know, like a side court that this stuff goes to. Like, we got way bigger fish to fry than whether Pete Golding's going to have success next season.
I like that. We'll give Jake credit on that for the sports.
I'll be the head
the
judge
sports
or
Supreme
they call
Court.
It,
you're the chief
the
justice.
Court.
The I chief like justice
yeah.
of the college.
Everybody has an NIL
the
cap
sports
except
Supreme
Auburn.
Court. I like it.
There you go.
Sounds good. Jake, let everybody know what's going on with Crane and Cone, and if they haven't found it, how they can.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, we're talking everything college football, college basketball. Head on over there to CRAIN and Cone. Come check us out. I think you'll like it.
All right, Jake, thanks again for being on with us this afternoon. Have a great weekend, bud.
All right, man. You guys be good.
All right, Jake Crane. Again, he's usually with us on Tuesdays, and he'll be back with us next Tuesday. Appreciate him spending some time with us today.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. I get a kick out of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's passionate, boy. He likes what he does and got some good ideas.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon and of the week. Back to wrap things up here on the Friday Drive.
Auburn IT delivers professional